Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. Last night, at the end of the show, I briefly discussed Major League Baseball. Attendance is good this year. TV numbers are good this year. There seems to be not a renewed interest, but a nice, healthy interest in baseball. And last night I talked about, you know, when it comes to a show like this or any national show, it's hard because there's 30 different teams. And within those 30 teams, there's a ton of different storylines. There's a ton of different angles. And you can really get a lot of meat off that bone. Like you could, if locally, you could do 4 hours on any team easy with all the different parameters and all the different subjects and all the different talking points. But then when you broadcast to fans of all 30 teams, what do you hit on? What are the things that are the most impactful, the things that cut through that nationally we can talk about? Because in the NBA, in the NFL, you know, college football, you can mention a team more than the other. You can bring up, like, well, the Arizona Cardinals, and you can do an hour on that, and people are engaged, and people are listening because it's a team that they care about just by nature of the fandom of the sport. Baseball, you are invested into your team 6-7 days a week, and it's hard to get invested to anyone else. So I thought, let me do baseball some justice. Let me open up the show on Tuesday after talking about that on Monday night to end the show. Let me open up with some storylines that I think are interesting for people across baseball that you may know of, that you may not know of, but really a way to highlight some of the things that are going on and some of the things to pay attention to. And treat baseball not like the regional sport that it's become. And when I say that, I'm cautious about it because I don't think Major League Baseball is regional. I just think you're into your team and don't view it as much on the national level. So let me do that. I think that will be good. I will feel good about it. I hope people are entertained by it, and I hope people learn something from it. And I prepared a nice batch of anecdotes and stats and trivia to start the show. And then the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau. And so I don't know when I'll do that. Tom Thibodeau has been fired as the head coach of the New York Knicks. This is a surprise, I think. Even if you're somebody who was a Knicks fan that thought, yeah, they should do it, or even if you were just an NBA fan that thought, yeah, I could see it happening, I think the fact that it did happen, I think it is surprising. Sometimes there's things that you think might happen, but it's actually surprising when they do, and I think this is one of them. Now, there's reasons to maybe not think it's a surprise. There does seem to be some sort of shelf life to Tom Thibodeau. He was in Chicago for 5 years, that didn't work out, they moved on. He was in Minnesota, that was 2.5 years. Interestingly enough, Carl Anthony Towns there. But that didn't work out, they move on. He latches on to the Knicks, we're on year 5. He's relieved of his duties. Just a one-sentence description of Tom Thibodeau's coaching style is he gets as much out of the starters as he possibly can. And he plays these guys big minutes, and he doesn't go into the bench much, and he wants the starters to go deep into games, and he trusts those guys, and he's going to try to win with those guys. He does it in the regular season as well, not just the playoffs. This is a regular season approach, so there's a lot of load management going on. There's a lot of, you know, play 30 minutes here or rest a back-to-back. That's not the Tom Thibodeau way. There's 82 games. He wants you to play 82 games. We're playing 42 minutes a night. That kind of style can grind on guys, and it can burn guys out. We've seen that happen in Chicago, and we've seen that happen in Minnesota. I don't feel like that was happening in New York. He was doing it, but I didn't feel the pushback that we felt in previous Tom Thibodeau experiences. When we did a Bartometer a couple of weeks ago, we looked at who could use an NBA championship the most in this season. And there was a lot of different names. Some coaches, some players. James Dolan was in there as an owner. The big point guards, Brunson, SGA, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese. I mean, the legacy of these guys is going to really be created if they can win a championship in 2025. But number one on that list was Tom Thibodeau. For a lot of different reasons, legacy-wise, and to justify the way that he had been coaching all these years, but also to possibly keep his job, which even when we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that cloud might have been there, but it didn't actually seem like it would be something that happened. Tom Thibodeau is well-respected in New York. He's essentially been improving this team every year. The first year they got to the playoffs, lost in the first round. The next year they missed the playoffs by a few games. But then in 22-23, 47 wins, conference semis. In 2023-24, 50 wins, conference semis. This year, 51 wins, conference finals. There's an ascension. There's a rise, and beating a Celtics team even before the Tatum injury to do it this year. They've been improving each and every season. So they've been improving. I don't feel like there was that pushback that there's been with Tom Thibodeau at different stops. And also, prior to the season, they gave him an extension. So they gave him an extension that didn't even kick in yet. And the extension was worth $30 million. I believe at least $20 million is guaranteed. There's a buyout in there. But the extension that they gave him hasn't even started before they ended up letting him go. So I am surprised that it happened. I thought there was a chance. I thought there was a possibility. But I thought that the Knicks would take a look at the East, see that it's really them, the Cavs, and the Pacers. The Celtics are hurt. Tatum's hurt. They can still make the playoffs and, you know, maybe be a top four seed, but I don't know what that team's going to look like. They could make some changes. The Bucks, Damian Lillard's hurt. Are they keeping Giannis? What are they going to look like? And even if they keep Giannis, what are they, at best, a five seed? The Sixers are trying to figure out what they are. The Heat, the Magic, like the Hawks. If you're a team that gets to the Eastern Conference Finals and loses, you look at the East next year and you think, okay, well, we're getting better. Let's run it back. Now, one of the reasons why I would have thought that they would have kept Tom Thibodeau as the coach rather than move on is because I think there was some tangible and easy to explain changes that you could make with the roster to get better for next season. Maybe utilize the bench more, but then you need a better bench. That's the thing. In this series against the Pacers, Tom Thibodeau got some heat for coaching the way that he does and not going to the bench more. The problem isn't, hey, you just need to go to the bench more because there's great guys there. The problem is the Pacers have a style of play where their starters are playing 30 to 35 minutes a night because they can go to a bunch of different guys off the bench and play hard for 15, 20 minutes a night. So the starters get their appropriate rest. When the bench guys come in, they're high energy on both ends of the floor, and they're good. They have a good, deep bench. That'll be one of the areas that the Pacers look to exploit the Thunder in the NBA Finals, and we'll continue to preview that series. Eddie White of 107.5 and 1070 The Fan in Indy is going to join us. He does post-game for them. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes. So we'll talk some Pacers and Thunder coming up. But they have guys that they can go to. So Tom Thibodeau has to answer to make sure that he can match these guys. But his bench is not as good as the Pacers' bench. It's just not. Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell and Benedict Mathurin and Ben Shepherd and even Thomas Bryant, who got some good run in Game 6. I mean, that's better than DeLon Wright, Landry Shamet. Now, Josh Hart did move to the bench in this series, and Miles McBride probably should have got a little more run, so they can go maybe 7 deep. But after that, with all due respect, if your criticism is, oh, we needed more DeLon Wright, you know, I don't think that that's on Coach Tom Thibodeau. I think that's more on roster construction and roster building. They've got Karl-Anthony Towns. They've got Jalen Brunson. These are their stars. Again, Brunson only assisted Towns 5 times in the Eastern Conference Finals, so that two-man game needs to improve. Plus, defensively, they could both use a little bit of help, whether that's coaching or actual help on the basketball court. But I thought a lot of the changes that they could make were continued chemistry as they made the change for Towns and Bridges, these guys coming in the offseason, and Thibodeau putting together a team. Now, granted, there's some of these guys that played together at Villanova, but he put together this team essentially on the fly. And a lot of times when teams are put on the fly, you know, it doesn't work out. You say maybe next year. Maybe next year, Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo will have better chemistry. Maybe next year, Luka Doncic and LeBron James can get out of the first round. But this year, the Knicks made a trade trade with Bridges early in the offseason. They made the Towns swap for Randall and Dante DiVincenzo right before camp, and Tibbs made it work. And he got themselves to an Eastern Conference Finals. So I am surprised that it happened. And now the question becomes, was it the right move? There's a lot of questions surrounding it. Who made the move? Leon Rose, team president. James Dolan, the owner. There's been a lot more good things said about James Dolan, the owner, because he has let Leon Rose kind of run more of the show. Or James Dolan is not making the reactionary decisions that he has been known to make with the multiple coaches that they've had in multiple years before Tom Thibodeau got a decent run of 5 years. Nobody has answered questions up until this point. I've seen plenty of Knicks fans that I respect that say this was the right move. I say plenty of Knicks fans that I respect that say this was the wrong move. Sometimes you fire the coach too early. Sometimes you fire the coach too late. Rarely do you fire the coach at the right time. This feels like maybe too early. This feels like maybe a few tweaks on the roster and another year of chemistry continue to give the reins to the guy who has brought you back to a level of respectability that you have not had in New York for a long time. I'm not saying you owe him future years because of that, but I'm saying I would have looked at the improvements that he's made and felt confident with him continuing to run the show with this group, especially thinking I'm going to make some roster changes and bolster our depth, especially because the East is for the taking next season. But that was not the decision that the Knicks made, and now another former coach of the year has been fired. If you go back, this year it was Kenny Atkinson with the Cavs. Last year, Mark Daigneault with the Thunder. The previous last six coaches of the year have been fired now. Mike Brown with Sacramento is no longer there. That was 23. Monty Williams in Phoenix in 22. Thibodeau, Knicks, 21. Nick Nurse, Raptors, 20. Mike Budenholzer, Bucks, 19. Dwayne Casey, Raptors, 18. The NBA is a league now where you got to get it done. I mean, Coach of the Year doesn't mean anything. Hell, even winning an NBA Finals doesn't mean anything because a lot of those guys lost their jobs after winning a Finals. Frank Vogel's out. Michael Malone's out. There's no safety just because you won an award or even won the award. So we'll talk much more about this, including potential replacements, as we continue here tonight. The Knicks losing to the Pacers. The Pacers set to take on the Thunder. We will check in about that with Eddie White, radio postgame show host, 107.5, 1070 The Fan. That will be next on The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
That is the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, Pascal Siakam. Narrow vote. Got 5 of the 9 votes. Well deserved. Could a Finals MVP be in his future? What about Tyrese Haliburton? Obviously, they would have to win that, and the odds not in their favor, but when have they been? The Pacers resilient with each and every passing round, covering the team at 107.5 and 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. Eddie White joining us. Eddie, I have been somebody that has not believed in the Pacers. I have said, do this, and then they did. And then I moved the goalpost, and they met it. And I moved the goalpost, and they met it again. And now I see them against the Thunder, and I don't know. But this has been a hell of a ride for this team. What has been maybe the biggest reason as to how they've been able to get to this point? Two really good playoff runs, but now an NBA Finals appearance.
First of all, you've always been the voice of the people, so you should have had the opinion of most of the people in America who didn't even know the Pacers probably existed and didn't give them a chance. So that's okay, my friend. I think there's two reasons. Obviously, there's many reasons. So yeah. Kind of a loaded question, but I think there's two, though. Is one that Rick Carlisle he's been around a long time. He has totally developed. I mean, early in his career, when he first coached the Pacers and he was in Detroit, he kind of had a reputation of being kind of ornery and it's his way or the highway. And he has learned and developed over the years. And he really learned a lot in those years in Dallas. And I think what we're seeing now is the best Rick Carlisle that there's ever been on the bench. He knows more. He just, like anything. Look, how good are you today than you were 25 years ago? I mean, come on. I mean, you just get better at things. And I think him having won that championship in Dallas, there's buttons he pushes or there's cards he plays that maybe a veteran coach that's maybe not as secure as Rick is might not play. And the other guy, there's another guy in that locker room that had a ring, and that's Pascal Siakam. I think he's the guy that has been – when we were winning years ago with Paul George and challenging LeBron in the Heat and in Cleveland and just getting close and getting knocked down, it was a guy named David West – who was this veteran, cagey seasoned veteran. He was like the dad in the room. He was the adult in the room. Well, the adult in the room with the ring for the Pacers is Pascal Siakam. When you team him with Coach Carlisle, they have infused something that's magical. I mean, I used to work for Don Shula with the Miami Dolphins. He's still the winningest coach in the history of the National Football League. And Coach Shula used to say, when you have this stupid phrase, it's called team chemistry. He said, but when you have it and you can't buy it, you can't fake it. You can't manufacture it. It just happens. It's organic. He said, but when you have it, you can do magical things. And the Pacers have had that this year.
Yeah, they're going to be up against another team that has it as well as anybody in the Thunder. And we'll see how the Pacers are able to counteract a team that won 68 games and had a tough series against the Nuggets, but otherwise kind of went through the Western Conference Finals pretty easy. Would chemistry be a reason? I'm trying to figure out the reason. And maybe it's just, you know, it's a make or miss league and, you know, shooter shoot or whatever. But I don't know that I've seen in the last 2 years a team that has been able to end other teams' efforts at momentum. Like, okay, we got the ball, we just made a big shot, we're down five. No, it's a guy like TJ McConnell hits a three. Or, hey, we're going to cut back here, we're going to make a run. No, Pascal Siakam at the other end, or Obi Toppin on a putback dunk. It just seems like any time the other team has been able to, and there's been exceptions, obviously, but most of the time that there's been a run that the other team's tried to stop, I just feel like the Pacers have figured out how to stop other teams' momentum better than most teams I've seen in a while.
That's a great point. You know, I do the postgame show, and I think this year I've had 11 different Pacers players be our leading scorer in a game. You know, one night, believe it or not, like we won a game like TJ was high with like 21. One night it was Siakam. Another night it was Mathurin. And those are three guys who don't even start. And, you know, so I think our strength is, you know, we don't have one superstar or two or three. We just have this collective group of people who are the most unselfish group of professionals, maybe not playing in the state of Oklahoma, because for the first series in four, I'm looking at a team across the way that, oh, my God, they're like us. They got depth. They got guys coming off the bench who can play. They're really good. I mean, I really believe, I know it's small market. I get that. But I really think if this series can go six games, maybe it goes seven, I think we're going to look back and go, this might be one of the most beautiful displays of basketball. I mean, basketball, the way that maybe Naismith drew it up, or maybe the way Wooden used to coach it back in the day, I think that maybe we've seen in years and years and years. I think it has that potential because both teams play with this unselfish fashion where they just move the ball, whoever scores, scores, and hopefully it's competitive. I mean, you know, everyone's picking, you know, I kind of feel like I should say it's not Pacers overtime, it's Buster Douglas overtime. Nobody's giving us a chance, but you know, hey, that's why they play the game, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, a lot of people are taking the Thunder. You know, I might be one of those people, but I've seen over and over and over the Pacers, as I mentioned, answer the call. The fan base, I mean, obviously they're very energetic, they're very excited, they're very you know, the small market thing's interesting because there's been like small market teams or teams that I remember when Denver was on their run, it seemed like everyone was talking about the Lakers losing to Denver and no one was paying attention to Denver. When Milwaukee lost to Brooklyn or beat Brooklyn, it was like, oh, this is about Brooklyn. This is not Milwaukee's story. It's Brooklyn's story. This is both of these teams are smaller markets, which shouldn't matter. But I think what it will do is it's not going to be the other team's story. This is going to be a story about the basketball. It's going to be a story about how these games are played out. And I think the basketball is going to go first and foremost, and I think that the fans should be excited. I know they're optimistic and hopeful, but are they expecting a championship? Would they more be delighted, or what's the overall consensus?
Well, they're nuts. I mean, they're fans. It's Indiana. I mean, they wear on their sleeve that thing, you know, in 49 states, it's just basketball, but this is Indiana. They live. I'm from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, okay? But I've lived there long enough now. These people are nuts when it comes to basketball. They fully expect the Pacers to win, but I agree with what you said. This is a chance for, listen, we all know SGA can play. He's the best player. He's the MVP. This is a chance for him to even get more storylines, so to speak. It's going to be a great matchup. You got the sage-old veteran in Carlisle against the young coach in Oklahoma City. There's so many different stories that it's going to be about the basketball. And I kind of marvel. I mean, I've been in sports for 40 years, and I marvel, like, we have no problem when the Kansas City Chiefs play the Buffalo Bills for the AFC Championship. No one's saying it's small market versus small market. And, you know, if you go back to when Mahomes first started playing, people didn't even know who the hell he was. And yeah. Josh Allen, well, he might be just the – is he next Jim Kelly, or is he somebody else? And all of a sudden it took them some – you know, they did what they did. They won games. All of a sudden they become – and, again, the NFL is different. But, you know, my point is it's we don't – get into the markets when Green Bay, you know, is playing Baltimore. I mean, who cares? It's two great teams. And I hope people would go back, hey, I don't care that it's not Boston and L.A. These are two really good basketball teams that don't just do the isolation crap and throw up threes. They move the ball. They play defense. They're unselfish. And if you're a high school or grade school boys or girls coach or even college, you're like, hey, guys, watch the way these two teams play because this is the way basketball should be played.
So we haven't mentioned Halliburton yet. We haven't mentioned Tyrese Halliburton, obviously a big part of this team. How much do you think the series is going to go how Tyrese Halliburton goes? There's games where, I mean, he had games that, like, we've never seen in the playoffs before. There's also been games where maybe he's not shot as much as he should or he plays more of the facilitator role. How much of this series is going to come down simply to, did Tyrese Halliburton have a good game?
Great question. You know, we've seen all year, and even last year, there were games that you kind of shook your head. He'd come off a game with 28 points, 11 assists, no turnovers. The next game he had 9 points. You're like, how does that happen? And we saw that against the Knickerbockers. We saw it earlier in the playoffs. I'm nervous that I don't know if he can get away with that in this series because of the quality of the team that we're playing, the best team with the best record. But having said that, I've seen it too many freaking times this year when he had an off night, somebody picks up the baton. Nesmith goes for 23, or Mathurin goes for 23, or Miles Turner goes for 24. Nembhard goes for 21. Obi goes for 19. TJ goes for 18. It's like somebody else steps up when he's not really scoring. But even on some nights, most of the nights were like he might have low scoring, like 8-9 points, but he still would have 11 assists. He didn't have that against the Knickerbockers. Yeah, that was different. He was bad both point-wise and assist-wise. But I think it would be more hurtful to the Pacers in this series than maybe any other game they played this year if he would have one of the quote-unquote disappearing games. But I don't think he will. I think there's a quiet confidence. Well, they have to. I mean, you're in the final. I mean, I remember Larry Bird. When Larry Bird was our coach, first of all, he looked at the schedule before this. You'd love this. He looked at the schedule before the season came out. You know, and the media are like, oh, they got a tough Christmas time and a tough start early and it's tough late and bada bing, bada boom. And Larry looking and go, yep, 41 home, 41 away. Okay, let's go. And then when we took that team to the finals, he said, let's win it. I mean, tomorrow's game, again, back to my Dolphins reference. Marino loses his second year. He goes to Super Bowl. They get beat by Montana and Palo Alto. And Danny was like, I'll be back. Yeah, I'll be back. He never got back. And I think Carlisle's going to send that message to these guys is, hey, we're here. We might as well win the darn thing. Let's go.
It's got to be fascinating to watch. Indiana, of course, when you think of basketball and then you say, name a state, Indiana's going to be the state that gets named. But just in the last few years for that state and Indianapolis, a great sports town in its own right, to kind of reclaim that with the Pacers run and Caitlin Clark and the Fever, it's almost like a sleeping giant has been awoken and Indiana is once again the place for basketball.
You know, we had the NBA All-Star Game last season, not this season now, but the season before. This summer, we're going to have the WNBA All-Star Game. We had the Final Four here. And remember when we had COVID, the whole NCAA tournament, the whole tournament was here in Indianapolis. I mean, it's basketball. It's Indiana. Our downtown is set up where, you know, you can come in with a rental car, park it, and just leave it there and never need it. Just you can walk everywhere you have to go. But you're right. The people are nuts when it comes to basketball around here. And they're fired up. I mean, with Caitlin Clark coming here and with the energy she's brought to the Fever, and now you got Halliburton and Pascal, what they've done with the Pacers. It's almost like we're a college team. We have a men's team and a women's team. They support each other. They go to each other's games. They hang out with each other. And, you know, we're in a city that's small enough where they can do that and have fun with it. And it's been a blast. And hopefully it can go on for another couple weeks.
Yeah, it's really cool. Enjoy the rest of the ride. NBA Finals starting again on Thursday. Eddie White joining us here, post-game host in Indy at the Fan. Eddie, thank you, and we'll be in touch and have a good series.
Thank you, my friend Bart. You're the best.
That is Eddie White joining us. You could follow him online, EddieWhite3, and again, check him out, 107.5 and 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. Those post-game shows got to be fun, especially after they win, covering the Pacers, covering the Fever, where, if I have the stat right, Caitlin Clark is When she's in attendance, the Pacers are 7-0 in the playoffs when she's in attendance at those games. So make sure you get her a front row seat again as well. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. More hoops to get to. Tom Thibodeau fired. Your reactions on that coming up right now. Let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Rodgers steps up, looks downfield, got a man in the end zone. The ball is picked off by Richard Sherman in the back of the end zone.
The biggest voices in sports.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get.
The heartbreak.
Signals being called. Here's the snap. High snap. Placement made. Kick end over end to the uprights. And it is good. The San Francisco 49ers advance.
The celebrations.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
I'm Blitz. It is the Bulletin Blitz, the Bart Winkler Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025. My thanks to Eddie White, who joined us for the Pacers Radio postgame show. Good stuff there, Bart. Good for
you. Wow, I don't think you've ever done that before. Thank you in the next segment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be rude. And also, I just need a kill time here. Let's go to Jordan Love. Your boy. Quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
He talks about his ultimate goal.
You know, I think you talk about Super Bowl, that's the goal for us. You know, that's, you talked about that last year, and that's the same message this year. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. So I'm definitely trying to be that guy to be able to take this team and lead them to that. You know, I think you talk about Aaron and what he did in his third year. You know, I never try and compare because, you know, it's so hard to do. There's so many different situations that go on. But at the end of the day, like you said, you know, I've been here going on year six, going on my third year playing. So, you know, everything's right there in front of us and for this team. So it's just about going out there, executing. But the goal is definitely a Super Bowl. That's the mindset we have. And we're going to put in the work to be able to hopefully get there.
Here's a Bartometer idea as we do our list segment every Thursday until September 2nd when it moves to Tuesday. Because I feel like the Packers may be number one on the list of teams that definitely could win the Super Bowl that no one is going to predict to win the Super Bowl. I don't feel like anybody is going to give the Packers any thought. I don't think that they think they're going to win their division. I think a lot more people are going to take them to finish fourth than first because there's going to be folks high on the Bears and perhaps still the Vikings and then the Lions as well. So, I you know, the Packers are going to return a good team. A lot's going to be dependent on how good Jordan Love is and how good of a job Matt LaFleur does. I've been on record many times saying I don't think Matt LaFleur is ever going to win a Super Bowl, so we'll see how that goes. But they would be a team to me that I think can win a Super Bowl. It's just nobody is going to predict them to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, good luck to you and your Green Bay Bears this season. Let's go.
The hell does that mean?
Mid is the ceiling. Third wild card. You'll get bounced in the first round, and we'll rinse and repeat.
You don't think they're good? You don't think they can make a run?
I think they're good enough to get in.
Wow. See, that's okay. All right.
I'm sorry. Am I taking a crazy shot? I don't think I'm stepping on a ledge here.
No, I just think that's where people are settling in on the Packers. Like, oh, that's cute, but I don't know. I would give them a little bit more attention.
They're the Steelers of the NFC.
Now that is insulting.
At least they have a quarterback. Let's go to Dallas. Talks between Cowboys and Cowboys star Micah Parsons. Still at an impasse. No new contract quite yet. So head coach Brian Schottenheimer. Do you expect Micah at minicamp?
I would assume. Mike and I talked a couple days ago. Again, he's doing a little bit of traveling. But again, everything that he and I have talked about, I expect that he will be here. Like I said, I say it each and every week. Mike and I have had great communication, everything I've asked him to do and vice versa. He's followed through on, so I would expect to see him.
I don't know, guys. I'm starting to think this might be the one time a Cowboy sort of holds out but sort of doesn't, and then they don't sign him. I don't know. I would start firing up the Micah Parsons trade machine right now, because he could be really gotten for... I mean, he'll be there, right? He'll be there. Once Myles Garrett stayed in Cleveland, I don't take any holdout seriously again. I think that's why nobody's batting an eye at Trey Hendrickson either. Oh, you're holding out? Oh, okay. All right, you guys will figure it out. The team will come to its senses. You'll get paid. They'll pay you. We just got to go through the motions like we always have to. I don't know if it's for content or negotiation. I don't like when these get drawn out through the media or shows like this, but that is the nature of having a league that demands our attention 365.
That's right, and we'll continue to beat that drum. Here's some more NFL stuff. Here's future six-time offensive coordinator for the Patriots, current three-time offensive coordinator for the Patriots, Josh McDaniels. He'll inevitably get offered the Cardinals job, the Saints job, and maybe the Browns job, and he won't take any of them because that's what McDaniels does, and he'll jump back to the Patriots. Here he is on Stephon Diggs, his high-priced wide receiver currently, making an appearance Monday at OTAs after staying away from the team last week.
As a coach, selfishly, you love it when they're all here because you feel like you got them all in the classroom and all in the field and all the rest of it. He's here today, and we're excited to have an opportunity to work with the guys that are out here and available to us. So I know he's staying up on the information and the material. I'm not concerned about Steph in that regard.
I don't know. Unless you have a good reason, like you're backpacking in Egypt or something, just go to minicamp. There's not a lot of reps that you get in training camp. There's not a lot of reps that you get even in the regular season, especially if you're a new guy or if you have a young quarterback. Both are applicable in this case. So we make a big deal when some of these guys show up, but these guys, I think, should show up.
Yeah, why not? And I knew I played the right bulletin blitz open. Love to take a free shot at Rodgers. Let's go to Atlanta. Here's head coach Raheem Morris. Say his name and he'll appear. Bart Belize in the Kyle Pitts.
Oh.
Raheem Morris on Kyle that Pitts. Quiet, you. Hasn't been on the field for OTAs because of an undisclosed injury, question mark?
He's been here. He's done such a great job of all stuff that we've asked him. He's been in every single meeting. He's been in every single thing that we've done other than the field. And he's been absolutely outstanding to be around in all this type of that era. But we're going to be extremely cautious in him.
Well, the speculation is that he may be on the trade block and that teams are, in fact, calling on him. I would like to go down with the ship. I would like to be a Kyle Pitts believer until it is no longer possible. I also felt that way about Darren Waller, though, and the last time we saw him, he was auto-tuning on a beach somewhere, so I'm not sure how this one will work out for me either.
Darren Waller, what a huge fumble by that clown. And I don't mean it. I don't mean on the field. Let's go to Seattle. Here's head coach Mike McDonald. He's on Seattle Sports 710. And this might be one of the dumbest questions I've heard, but hey, content is content, I guess. He's on with Mike Salk and Brock Hard. I think that's his last name. I hope I didn't butcher that. But he's asked on whether
Heward.
Heward, thank you. He's asked whether there's a possibility that Sam Darnold, get this, could he lose his starting job?
Sam's our starting quarterback. We love him. He's doing a tremendous job. I think it's funny that the media is out there for like the first day and all of a sudden they know exactly how good we're going to be and how good all the players are and all the tempos. Like, we don't even put on pads yet. Like, we haven't made one tackle. And it turns out at practice, like, it's a great way to build culture by letting guys know that like they can't make mistakes. That's exactly what we're shooting for. So go out to practice, be tight, you know, make sure you don't make a mistake, because then, you know, God forbid, you know, you're the worst player of all time because you made one bad throw or one bad decision. It's like, that is not what we're trying to build.
It's not like the Seahawks have ever signed a guy in free agency and then ended up playing their late round draft pick instead.
No, never happened.
Oh, wait, Matt Flynn got signed. Then they drafted Russell Wilson.
Yeah, 3 years, a boatload of money.
And then Sam Darnold, and they drafted Jalen Milroe. Maybe not as dumb of a question as initially thought. We'll come back. Tom Thibodeau fired. So who's taking over the Knicks? Is the grass greener on the other side? It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.